You know, that's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is, as many of the others have mentioned, you know, to earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. And how many want to take the scriptures seriously? Do we want to take the scriptures seriously? We want to take the Lord seriously, yeah. So, you know, often we can kind of get into, I guess, you know, our way of living our Christian lives and doing our Christian walk. And we can kind of gloss over scriptures like that and sort of forget the potency or the meaning behind them. And that, I just want to encourage you this morning, that really is, you know, that's an uncomfortable thing. That means we've got to push, we've got to step out, we've got to keep moving forward, we have to change. So I just encourage you, as we get into the subject this morning, this is kind of probably the most controversial of the spiritual gifts. And this is one that I struggled with for years and years and years. I spent a lot of time studying it and just went through a great deal of frustration. So, I guess you're going to probably see that as we study this real quick now, just why some of that frustration is there, and perhaps you're feeling that same frustration or confusion around this issue. So, you know, Scott prayed before. He talked about fear, and he's bang on. Fear is a major issue when it comes to the spiritual gifts in general, but particularly with the gift of tongues. And a lot of that fear is actually come through theology that has gone through the church, and it gets you to a place. I don't know how many of you have heard, but there was a story going around years and years ago about some missionaries from a very out of the way sort of island community, and these missionaries were in a church service. They were on sabbatical. They'd come back and they were listening in the church service, and several people spoke in tongues during the service. And these missionaries afterwards said that they were actually speaking in the native tongue of the people on this island, but they were speaking blasphemies against God. And when you hear stuff like that, like for me, that freaked me out. I was like, okay, I'm not touching this tongues thing. Turned out that story, although it's very well known and very widely circulated amongst the body, has absolutely no grounding in truth. There's no evidence that ever actually happened. And if it did happen, it doesn't necessarily mean that tongues is bad. So we need to get past fear, and I think we need to look at this really objectively and see, what does the scripture say? How does this work? Is it for today? Is it something we should be doing? Why should we be doing it? So I guess that was the second question, is, you know, okay, I'm not really sure if this is for today or not, or whether it's genuine or not, or what the deal is here, but I can't really see the point of speaking in tongues anyway, so I'm kind of just going to leave it up on the shelf, because that's a safe place to leave it. Just leave it at arm's length, and I'm kind of going to ignore it. Well, unfortunately, if you study the scriptures, it's not really an option. It's not really something we can do and continue to grow and mature in our faith. So we're going to find out how that works as well. So first we want to know, what is the gift of tongues? Probably many of us have lots of different ideas around the gift of tongues. There's a lot of information in the scriptures about the gift of tongues. At the same time, there are a lot of grey areas in the gift of tongues. So there are lots of different interpretations as to how this works. Some people think that the gift of tongues is where the Holy Spirit gifts a particular person with a language that is useful for them to speak to a native people group that they didn't know. So they turn up. And there are accounts throughout history of this happening to people, where they turn up to an unknown people group, or a group with a completely different language. They start to speak. They actually think they're speaking in their own language, but the people can understand them, and they suddenly realize they're actually speaking in that native language. That's awesome. I don't believe that is what 90% of the scriptures are actually talking about, though, as a gift of tongues. I do believe that is a valid gift, and I think that's really, really cool. But it's not the gift of tongues that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So the gift of tongues, really, you know, as we go through, we find that it's how do I explain this? It's, I probably should have written some notes, hey? So when, you know, when we speak from our intellect, we speak from, you know, our soul, our spirit, you know, that seat of emotions, the mind, will, and emotions. You know, out of that, I think the scripture says actually, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So tongues is pushing all that stuff aside, and it's the Holy Spirit actually speaking through us. So it's, we don't know what we're saying. It's quite clear in scripture that when we're speaking in tongues, we don't actually know what we're saying unless there's an interpretation, and we can pray to interpret. But in general, it's actually, it completely bypasses this part of us. And for some of us, for me in particular, that's a big problem. And that's where fear comes in, because I like to know what's going on. You know, I like to have some control over what's going on. And so for God to kind of speak through us, there's no intellectual aspect of that. There's no thinking about forming specific words. The part of your spirit that has a role in speaking in tongues is your will. So you can choose whether or not to speak in tongues, right? So that's the only part of your spirit that is actually part of that process. Your spirit is saying, yes, I'm willing to speak in tongues. I'm going to speak in tongues. You open your mouth and God will fill it. So who gets the gift of tongues? Well, I'm going to make the point that I think that any spirit-filled Christian is able to appropriate the gift of tongues. If you disagree with me on that, that's fine. It doesn't matter. It's not a black and white point. But for me, the gift of tongues is like, you know, in my everyday job, one of the most important tools I have is a screwdriver. And it's kind of like turning up to a job and not having a screwdriver. So I go rummaging through the knife and fork drawer and pull out a knife and start trying to undo screws with that. That's kind of like what it's like for me. It's a really important tool in the toolbox. Or, you know, if I was a soldier going out to war, it would be like kind of going out with a pistol and about three bullets. You know, so the gift of tongues is a really important tool. You want to be fully armed when it comes to spiritual warfare. So how does the gift of tongues work? Well, like I was saying, you know, it's for us, first of all, it is really clear, I think, in Scripture that you need to be filled with the Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to be on you. You need to be baptized in the Spirit. And then you need to be willing as well. You need to step out and be willing. And I really don't think it's a whole lot more complicated than that. It's a case of stepping out and just opening your mouth. So we're going to look at what does it do and how to receive it as well. But first, I think, you know, we need to look at scriptures, because this is such a it's a subject we really need the weight of scriptures behind it if we're going to step into this, because it does bypass the intellect. It's not like something we can kind of logically fall into. You're never going to do that with tongues. So I think the first really important reference is what Jesus himself said in Mark chapter 16. If you want a Bible this morning, there are some Bibles at the back. One of the guys will grab them and dish them out if you stick your hand up, if you want to follow along in the scriptures. So Mark chapter 16, and starting in verse 15, Jesus, this is the Great Commission from the book of Mark. He said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover." So I found it really interesting that speaking in new tongues is mentioned there. And I actually think that this is the only place in Scripture that kind of covers the whole broad topic of tongues, you know, the idea of being gifted by the Spirit to speak a particular language for a particular people group, but also the gift of tongues. And I believe those two aspects of it are caught up in this Scripture. So Jesus himself says that this is for those who believe. And that's why I personally believe that the gift of tongues is available to every born-again believer who is willing to have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. What do we see of tongues in the Scripture? Like, what are the examples that we see? Well, I think we see three good examples in the book of Acts. If we turn to Acts chapter 2, we read there of the day of Pentecost when the apostles were waiting, the disciples were waiting in the upper room for what happens next. They didn't know what was going to happen. So they're kind of just chilling out, waiting. And it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So first they were filled with the Holy Spirit, then they began to speak in tongues. Later on, we actually kind of see sort of a, we see that the languages that we're speaking were actually real earthly languages. I don't think that's necessarily always the case with tongues. But in this case, people who were from different areas of the world understood what they were saying. And in verse 11 of the same chapter, we sort of carry on, go through that list of people who were there, Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. They said, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. In Acts chapter 10, so that's the first example of the Jewish people speaking in tongues. Then we see in Acts chapter 10, we see the first example of Gentiles speaking in tongues. So this is not just a Jewish thing, it's a Gentile thing as well. Chapter 10, starting at verse 44. So Peter is with Cornelius and the other Gentiles, and he's been preaching to them. And it says, while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they asked him to remain for some days. So, really interesting there. You know, it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, happened before these people were even water baptized, right? But what was the sign that they were filled with the Holy Spirit? How did Peter know they were filled with the Holy Spirit? They all started speaking in tongues. Lots of people say that tongues is the sign gift, and anyone who's filled with the Holy Spirit will start speaking in tongues. I sort of agree with that, but I think we have to remember that there's still that will part of it that is connected to that. So you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and not speak in tongues and still be filled with the Holy Spirit, still be empowered by the Holy Spirit, but it's your choice whether or not you speak in tongues. Acts chapter 19. When Paul's in Ephesus, he's there and he finds a group of believers who believed in God, but they hadn't really received a full understanding yet. And it happened that while Apollos, so this is chapter 19, verse 1, it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. So that was the baptism, if you remember, of repentance. So they had been baptized into that repentance and they were kind of like ready to go, but they didn't have the information they needed. And so Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. And on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. So again, the Spirit came on them, they started speaking in tongues and prophesying. So speaking in tongues and prophesy, I believe, were what actually told them that these guys were actually filled with the Spirit. Otherwise, I mean, what do? They may have just said, oh, we feel a, shiver running down our spine. I don't know, some of you may have been baptized by the Holy Spirit here and not felt anything. I was like that. I didn't feel any difference when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. But I started speaking in tongues. So it's a great indication that the Spirit of God is actually moving on a person. So those are actually the only examples we see of tongues being used in Scripture, right? And did you notice that we actually don't get a lot of information about, like, why they spoke in tongues, or what was happening when they spoke in tongues, or when to speak in tongues? It's a little bit vague, and I think that's another reason we can kind of put this in the too hard basket. It's like, well, I don't really get the point of this gift. We're just going to flick over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and have a little bit of a look at a couple more aspects of tongues, and then we're going to read through 1 Corinthians 14, which is really the main chapter in the scriptures about the gift of tongues and prophecy. So verse 4, and we've read this verse over and over, but we'll go through it again. He says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 7, sorry. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So this is the kind of scripture that people go, well, see, tongues is not for everyone. It's only for a select few people. Well, it doesn't actually say that. It tells us that there is a gift of tongues, and he works on later on in the chapter. He says, in verse 29, he says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all possess gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? Clearly the answer that he's looking for there is no, they don't. But don't confuse this for Paul saying some people will not speak in tongues because God forbids it. He's not saying that. He's just saying not everyone will speak in tongues. And that's the case, isn't it? Not everybody speaks in tongues. But I would like to make the case that we should all speak in tongues. And we are all able to grasp that. So chapter 14, I'm just going to read through this chapter, and I'm just going to just talk about some of the stuff as we go through. And the main point of today is to really help everyone to see that the gift of tongues is an important part of the spiritual life, that it's critical for each one of us to grab hold of at some point, and that it's not something that is scary or should be left on the shelf. So I really want you guys to get that. So he says in chapter 14, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. There it is again, earnestly desire those gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. So it's interesting. That's the first thing we find out about the gift of tongues, is the person who's speaking in tongues doesn't actually understand what they're saying, and the people around them don't necessarily understand what they're saying. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. So what are we finding out about tongues here? Paul's actually making the case that in this setting, we're all together, we're gathered together as a church, prophecy is more important than tongues, right? For for the purpose of building up this body, prophecy is much more important than tongues. Now, we get a little bit confused sometimes and we think, well, therefore, you shouldn't speak in tongues in church. That's not what he's saying at all. He's saying that the person who prophesies builds up everyone, right? So if I stand up here and I prophesied over this fellowship, over what we were doing, over each one of you, like everyone would be built up, right? As long as, you know, I was hearing accurately from the Lord, we would all be built up. But if I stood here for an hour and spoke in tongues the whole time, like you would either not be here or you'd be asleep by the time I'd finished, right? Because nobody except me would be getting built up and it would be quite awkward probably. So that's what I believe what Paul's saying here. He's saying, hey, if you're going to stand up in front of the church and you're going to speak in tongues, cool, but there needs to be an interpretation because the whole point of this gathering is that we're built up as a body, right? And if that doesn't happen, if the interpretation doesn't happen, then nobody's being built up except the one person speaking in tongues. But that, I thought, was really, really fascinating. It tells us something about the gift of tongues. See, for years and years, I thought the gift of tongues is just to glorify God because in the book of Acts, you know, the people heard the apostles speaking in tongues and they were glorifying God effectively in different languages. And so for years, I thought, well, that is the sole purpose of the gift of tongues is to glorify God. Well, Paul's actually saying, no, the person who speaks in tongues is building himself up, edifying himself. So that's a really, really helpful scripture. But, you know, you can go and have a healthy lunch after this and be edified. You know, you can read the scriptures and be edified. You can spend time with your family and be edified, right? So edification is quite a broad thing. So it's like, well, how does this, you know, it's not going to feed me physically. It's not that kind of edification. It's not going to make me fit and strong. So how does tongues work? A couple of examples, I think, that I've found just personally, as I've walked in, and I find it funny. You know, Paul says later on, he says, you know, I speak more in tongues more than all of you. And I used to think, wow, that's amazing. I used to speak in tongues like once in a blue moon, when I was kind of probably forced to by Pastor Scott. But I found the further I've gone in my walk, the more and more I speak in tongues. And I speak in tongues every day now. And I think Paul kind of grasped that. He saw through his life as he was going, he was speaking in tongues more and more and more. So I guess the first thing I found was that when I was really fearful, you know, when there was a situation happening and I was really afraid, I would start speaking in tongues. And I remembered my mum doing that, and that's why I sort of thought, okay, I'm going to start speaking in tongues. I remember I didn't do that much until we moved to Rotorua and then started realizing that there is a spiritual realm. we were staying, we'd started renting a house, and it was in an okay area, but we had a lot of mongrel mob fights and stuff out on the street in front of us. It was always exciting. But there was just this real spiritual oppression, and I just remember some nights that I would wake up and I would just be completely gripped by fear, like could not move, like no part of my body would move, and I was just gripped there by fear. And I remember just being fed up with this, and one night just spoke out in tongues and just started speaking in tongues and speaking in tongues. And I think within about 30 seconds, the fear had actually completely vanished, and for the first time ever, I got up and walked around the house and just literally just walked around the house and effectively just went, yep, that fear's gone. And I kind of realized at this point, wow, this is really, really important. This actually does something. Speaking in tongues is actually doing something. What it was doing is it was edifying me. It was actually throwing fear out. You know, it was effectively like filling me up so that there was no room for fear. Another thing I discovered later on is I went through an extremely stressful patch at work, to the point where I was waking up and I was shaking in the morning. I was apparently very close to a nervous breakdown at that point, I found out a little bit later on. And I was driving to a site, and it was the basically the majority of the stress was coming from a particular job, and I was driving to this job and I just felt the stress coming on, and I was just panicking and fearful and just hated what I was doing and just so frustrated. And I felt like the Lord said, start speaking in tongues. So I did, and immediately as I started speaking in tongues, it was like the stress just went. The fear went, the anxiety went, and I had a great day. And so I did that from then, and then we worked through the issues that we had, and it was like, wow, that's awesome, that's really cool. So now every time I'm afraid and every time I'm really, really stressed and anxious, I'm going to speak in tongues. So now I'm speaking in tongues like once every 6 months, and apart from when Scott forced me to. No, he doesn't force people to. He's very persistent, though. yes. So I'm starting to get this idea of what tongues is for. And it's a little bit hard because you won't find this stuff in Scripture. And I could actually give you 20 or 30 different examples of what tongues is good for, but you won't remember any of them. And you won't be any further ahead when we leave today. So I wanted to say that tongues is, you know, that idea of edification. We do this a lot, and my wife in particular, when we're praying for people, especially when there's a real spiritual battle going on, we'll speak in tongues. While someone else is praying, we will speak in tongues just to ourselves. Because what's happening there is we're being built up in the Spirit. Sometimes I think, Lord, I need a word for this person. And then I start thinking about work, or I start thinking about the kids, or I start thinking about something else, and I'm getting distracted. I'm like, what? So I start speaking in tongues, and that kind of bypasses all that, pushes all that out, and it builds me up spiritually. And then all of a sudden, I start to see pictures. I start to receive words from the Lord. So that is one of the most crucial things about tongues, is it effectively, it gives us ammunition. Now, when we're engaged in the fight, it gives us ammunition. Sometimes we can come up against the enemy and realize, I don't have the tools to do this. You know, if you're walking on the battlefront and you've got a pistol with three rounds and you come up against a tank, you don't need a pistol with three rounds. You need a tank missile. Yeah. and that's what speaking in tongues does. It's like it rearms yourself. It builds you up. And I really think if you want to walk forward in spiritual warfare, speaking in tongues is mandatory. It's something we really, really need. So we're just going to continue reading, and hopefully this is not too much of a mess. But verse 6 of chapter 14, he says, now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? If even lifeless instruments such as the flute or the harp do not give distinct notes, how will anyone know what is played? So, and that's what tongues is like when it's used as something like prophecy or words of knowledge. If we use it like that and we don't use it properly, we don't interpret. It's like me and Rob playing up here and we're playing in two separate keys. You know, like you have no idea what we're playing. It sounds awful and nobody gets anywhere. If the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for battle? So with yourselves, if with your tongue you will utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? For you will be speaking into the air. There are doubtless many different languages. Yes, there are difficult languages too, like the English language I'm struggling with at the moment. Different languages in the world, and none is without meaning. But if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. So this is interesting. You know, we talk about the gift of tongues and interpretations, and I actually thought, you know, you kind of got one or the other. It's like God's stingy. He's like, nah, you can have that one and you can have that one. You can't have them both. But Paul's actually saying, if you speak in tongues, hey, pray and ask God for the interpretation. Like, because you can do that. So, you know, as we speak in tongues and this is what I found for myself, as I walked more in speaking in tongues and started to do that more often, became more comfortable with it, realized what it was actually doing, I felt like the Lord said one day, you need to pray for the interpretation. And so I did. I started praying for the interpretation. And you know what happened? I got the interpretation. So it's quite simple. It really is quite simple. And sometimes we get something and we think, nah, that's dumb. I'm not going to say that. But if we do, if we step out and say it, often you'll find like Aaron will usually pop up and say, yeah, that's what I had. and you get several other people. And it's really cool because that's confirmation that the Spirit's working in the group. For if I pray in a tongue, verse 14, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do then? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Right, so he's just reiterating the same thing here. He's sort of saying, hey, look, if you're going to, you know, because tongues is cool. Once you get it is really, really cool. But some people have had the propensity in the past to stand up and kind of like speak out in tongues and go, look how awesome and spiritual I am. I'm speaking out in tongues. And it's kind of a waste of time. That person's being built up and everyone else is going, oh, I wish I could do that. You know, and it's counterproductive. So he says, hey, look, in this setting where there's preaching going on, where there's other spiritual gifts happening, where people are being healed, I'd rather speak 10,000 words in my own language than in 5 in an unknown tongue. Other way around. 5 in my language than 10,000 in an unknown tongue. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. In the law it is written, by people of strange tongues and by the lips of foreigners I will speak to this people. And even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Thus tongues are not a sign for believers, but for unbelievers, while prophecy is a sign not for unbelievers, but for believers. If, therefore, the whole church comes together and all speak in tongues, and outsiders or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are out of your minds? But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so, falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. Is anyone else as confused by that verse as I am? Okay, I've been really confused by this for years and years, and I thought, right, I'm going to figure out what's going on here. And I think I understand now what he's saying. So Paul brings out the scripture from Isaiah where he says, by people of strange tongues and by the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people, and even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Thus, tongues are not a sign not for believers but for unbelievers, while prophecy is a sign not for unbelievers but for believers. Okay, so first, he's actually talking about two different things. He's talking about signs. So he says, according to Isaiah, tongues are a sign for unbelievers. We go back to the book of Acts and look at chapter 2, and we see that played out. We see how tongues were a sign for unbelievers because the disciples were speaking in tongues that were actually recognized by the unbelievers. Right? So they're not speaking an unknown language, they're speaking a known language. So that is the sign of tongues. Then he starts talking about the gift of tongues. And he says, in the very next verse, it seems to completely contradict himself. He says, if therefore the whole church comes together, so now we're talking about the church, right? Comes together and all speak in tongues and outsiders or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you're out of your mind? So now the church is exercising the gift of tongues. We're all speaking in tongues all at once, and someone comes in who doesn't understand what's going on, who's an outsider or an unbeliever. Yeah, if I was in that position, I'd probably say, these people are crazy. But he says, you know, if you've got prophets and they're prophesying and this person comes in, and like Scott was saying, you know, the person who's prophesying starts reading their mail and he's never seen them before. You know, that's a real challenge to an unbeliever. So two different things here. it's a sign. It was a sign in that particular situation. It can be a sign in other situations as well. I believe particularly in missionary sort of situations where you're going into a new culture and unknown language, and people go, whoa, these people don't know our language, but they're speaking out and they recognize it. And that has happened throughout history. So that's the sign aspect of it. But we're talking about now the gifting aspect, where we're using it to build ourselves up, to edify ourselves. What then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. If any speak in a tongue, let there be only two or three at the most, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. But if there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in the church and speak to himself and God. Okay, so he says, keep silent in the church, and people will go, yes, see, that's why we're not supposed to speak in tongues at church. We're not supposed to speak all at once. You have to have two or three people at the most up the front, and they speak, and then there's interpreters, and it's all things decently in order. Well, notice that's not what he's saying. He says, keep silent in the church. And I believe he's saying by keep silent, he means, hey, don't get three or four of you up the front and all start yammering in tongues all at the same time, because it's not going to help anything. He said, no, keep silent. He said, sit in your seat and speak to yourself and to God, right? So he's actually still saying, yeah, you can do it, but you're not getting up. You don't have a message for someone, and that's the difference. So if you're using the gift of tongues for a message for the church, which I believe is valid, and I believe he's saying it's valid, that's not for all of us just to start just going off at once. You know, like if all of us just started right now, that wouldn't be proper. That wouldn't be decently in order. But he's saying, go for it. Do it. You can speak in tongues under your breath. You can sing in tongues while we're singing in the congregation. But you're not preaching from your seat. You know, can you see the difference here? Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is said. If revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So he's making the same point again with prophets. And it's kind of easier to see with prophets, you know, because if we had 10 prophets in here and they all started prophesying at once at the top of their lungs, it wouldn't be helpful because you couldn't understand what was going on. So all he's saying is, do this. He says earlier on, remember, he says, I speak in tongues more than all of you, and I wish you all spoke in tongues. So that's Paul's perspective on it. But he's saying, hey, don't go crazy with this so that it's a show. You know, this is something that's real. It's something to build you up and edify you. So use it properly. So the last question is, how do we receive? And I think Jabron's going to come and say something. So I don't know. Katrina, can you pop out and maybe grab the kids? How do we receive the gifts of tongues? I think it's really, really simple. If we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we can step out and we can receive the gift of tongues. That's really hard because we want to know, well, how does that work? And we want to understand it 100%. We want to know the words to say, like, where do I start? But that's kind of like, well, you're trying to do it with your mind. We're not supposed to do it with our mind. We're supposed to do it by the Spirit. So it's a stepping out. And what that looks like? It looks like reaching out, saying, God, give me my tongue. Open your mouth and let him fill it. So after this, we're going to break up into groups. And remember, this is your choice. This is something you can choose to do. What I'm trying to convince you of today is tongues is important. It's necessary, and I believe that every person here who's born again can receive it. So we're going to break up into groups, and if you haven't spoken in tongues before, just pair up with the guys who have spoken in tongues and just minister to each other. So if you don't understand what's going on, get the other people around you to pray for you and just say, hey, pray for me, pray for the Spirit to fall on me, pray for the gift of tongues. If you're not ready for that, That's cool. That's fine. We're not forcing anyone to do anything today. That's really important to understand. But watch what's going on, and just I think you'll see that this is actually real, and it's really, really important. So Jabron's going to share. Scott's going
to
share.
Yep. So just real quick, as Jabron's coming up here, you know, we, for those of you who've sort of taken in what Jeremy's saying and still want to continue to grow in this, and I've made this point before, or you have friends who need to grow in this area, we've just got this one sheet. You know, it's called the gift of tongues, and it makes the distinction between the public and the personal ministry of the gift of tongues, and that's kind of what a point that Jeremy's touched on. Each one of us has the opportunity to receive the private, if you will, the personal gift of tongues, but not everyone is called to the public ministry of speaking in tongues, and that's the point that's being made there. But the variety of ways that we receive this is significant. And so don't put it into a box.
And I was just going to kind of share a little bit of my experience as well. I think I was about 12 years old when the elders in the church came into the little school that I was a part of, and they prayed for all of us to receive the gift of tongues, and it just happened, and we all, you know, I didn't think anything about it. It was a normal part of my experience with church, and it wasn't until much, much later that I figured out that I could interpret tongues. And I was going through the Psalms one day, and I was just kind of closing my eyes and just praying in tongues, and the Lord was like, read the next Psalm. And I'd had this, as I was speaking in tongues, I had this kind of a vision, I guess, of God, like, standing on a hill with Israel, with Jacob, you know, one of Isaac's sons, with Jacob, and was like showing him like this beautiful, beautiful green land, and like this power was like shooting out of God and like covering the land, and then it went and it covered the whole earth. And the Lord was like, okay, now look at the next psalm. And I read like the very next psalm, and it was talking about how God was showing mercy to Israel and then through Israel blessing the whole world. And I was like, wow, was that like just an interpretation of my tongue? That's kind of odd. And I did it probably like a dozen times, where I would just pray in tongues, I'd get a mental picture of something, and then I would read the next psalm, and it would almost exactly what I had pictured. I mean, it was really, really odd. But I still didn't figure out that I could interpret other people's tongues until years later again. And I usually get a picture of something, of the stars or of some natural, beautiful, creative picture. And I don't get words a lot. Like, I don't get the words. I get a picture in my head. And it's not until I go, all right, this must be an interpretation, if somebody speaks out in tongues, and I actually start to step out and say, I usually start with what I've seen, and then the words kind of come. So it's not like God just gives me absolutely everything all at once. It's like it's a little picture, and then it just kind of, I've got to step out, I've got to exercise it, I've got to use it. And he's always been faithful to put words in my mouth or pictures in my mind. But I've got to step out and then share that. So it can be kind of scary. But a lot of times, like when we've been, and I don't know, I wasn't in here, I was in with the kids, so I might be repeating some things. But when we've had a time of where someone's spoken out in tongues, a lot of times the visions or the interpretations that people have, sometimes God only gives part of it, and then the next person gets part of it, and the next person gets part of it, and then it becomes this, you know, this beautiful picture of the power of God and of his might and of his glory. And so if you only get a little bit of it, don't be afraid to speak out. If you're praising God, you can't get it wrong.
Awesome.